Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4.5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2017. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio Incorporated has been independent and in the black for almost 10 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here is a headline from National Public Radio. 2017 has been a rough year for evangelicals. It isn't long into this story, and as is typical, any discussion of evangelicals turns to how they voted and who they voted for. That is President Donald Trump. That's the story. How does the media cover evangelicals in a way that actually is sensitive to what evangelicals believe? We're going to try and answer that question with Terry Mattingly. He's a regular guest, senior fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Terry, I understand you are joining us from the high seas. What's the temperature there?
Well, I'm in the Bahamas, and it is a crisp, cool 81 today, which is cooler than normal. I think... When we got up this morning, I think it was like 75, 76. So we're not in frigid Florida at this point, where they are experiencing sleet and snow flurries in the top third of that state. And boy, if that doesn't produce paranoia and fear, I don't know what would.
What occasions your trip to the Bahamas?
My wife and I are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. It was actually back in December, but you know, the boat wouldn't do it on the exact right day, so here we are. So, anniversary number 40 of one of the great blessings of my life.
Here's a story from National Public Radio. 2017 has been a rough year for evangelicals. I just want to read the first paragraph to you and get your thoughts. As 2017 ends, evangelical Christians in the United States are suffering one of their periodic identity crises. Unlike other religious groups, the evangelical movement comprises a variety of perspectives and tendencies, and is therefore especially prone to splintering and disagreement. What do you make of that lead?
First of all, the first time I read that paragraph, I laughed out loud. I mean, name other religious groups that contain splintering and uncertainty about their beliefs and debates about them right now. At the moment, can you name one that isn't? I mean, the first thing that leapt in my mind, of course, was good grief. There seems to be more agreement among evangelicals right now on basic doctrines than there are among Catholics in the United States, for sure. Lutherans leap to mind. Global Anglicanism versus the Anglicanism of the West. I mean, you could go on and on. American Judaism right now. Is there any coherent religious perspective between the movements of where the movements of Judaism would agree? So the only thing that saves that paragraph is the word periodic, which in a way means that what they're going through isn't horribly new. It's just getting more attention because it concerns the single most important subject in all of American life from the viewpoint of journalists, which is the presidency. So because evangelicalism is linked to that. You remember, I think I told you long ago, back when Jimmy Carter ran for president, one of the strongest memories I have of that, I would have been in college, and of course, at that time, was one night, you know, Carter had given an interview. It might have even been the infamous Playboy interview, where he talked about being a born-again Christian and his evangelical beliefs. And at the end of the report, Howard K. Smith of ABC looked out from the screen and said, ABC News is investigating the born-again Christians, and it will have a report in a future broadcast. Yeah, like Martians have landed. I mean, 40% of the American population, probably at that time, and they're acting like this guy is a nutcase, you know, because he is one kind of an evangelical. The term evangelical and the lack of certainty about what it means has been a hang up forever. If I were hit by a bus or fell off the boat tonight and died, one of the quotes from my career that I would best be remembered for is a quotation from Billy Graham, where in mid to late 80s, I asked him how he defined the term evangelical. And if you may recall, Billy Graham said he had no idea what the word means. And I said, sir, I mean, if you don't know what evangelical means, who does? And at that point, he got into a discussion of exactly what the NPR article is talking about. What are the doctrinal standards that define evangelical? What's the difference between a fundamentalist and an evangelical? Well, we have the fundamentals of the faith documents, so we kind of know the basic parameters of historic Christian fundamentalism in a Protestant context. But the word evangelical has been up for grabs for a long time. So it's somewhat humorous, you know, to act like this is something brand new. And of course, what NPR is really saying is evangelicals are in a crisis because there's a tiny number of evangelicals who disagree with the Donald Trump, Roy Moore world of evangelicalism. And these sane evangelicals are in a panic, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas according to my Twitter feed, lots and lots and lots of evangelicals are thinking twice about the word and are thinking especially about, you know, continuing to use it in any way linked to politics. But of course, if the New York Times and NPR keep using the term primarily as a political term, guess what? I guess the American public and American media will continue to do. So that was a long, rambling answer, but this is a subject we've been dealing with all year, right?
And in that vein, there's a very interesting quote from Mark Galli, who is editor-in-chief of Christianity Today. And he's quoted as saying, there is this perception now that evangelicals are fundamentally politically conservative people and that their religion is just a veneer. What's he onto there?
Well, I mean, Christianity Today did some of the best reporting, along with Sarah Pulliam Bailey, formerly of CT, and Get Religion for that matter, who is at the Washington Post, did some of the best reporting on the divisions among evangelicals in the Trump during the primary stage. And it was CT that ran a fabulous article looking at the pre-election poll data that noted that at least half of the white evangelicals who were planning to vote for Trump really said they didn't want to. So that's part of what he's talking about. There is this large, there were obviously lots and lots of white evangelicals who were part of the Trump base in the primaries. Probably 40% of white evangelicals or something approaching that. But all of this is discussing, as David French at National Review has said several times, as if the only definition of evangelical right now is white Republicans at prayer. And that's been the image that's dominated press reporting for the whole year. And Galli's upset about that. David French is upset about that. All kinds of people. You could make a case that, based on my Twitter feed, a majority of institutional evangelicalism in America at the level of parachurch groups, educational institutions, denominational leadership, pretty much everybody is upset about this issue right now. Is it too late to reclaim the word evangelical in a doctrinal sense, which is exactly what Billy Graham was trying to do when he couched his definition of evangelicalism in terms of biblical authority and then linked biblical authority specifically to the Apostles and Nicene Creed? Billy was trying to get some sort of standardized evangelical definition, but there isn't one. There desperately needs to be one. And maybe that's something you and I could talk about. When you think of evangelical doctrines. Is there any statement or source that you think of as authoritative?
I mean, I think I would be hard-pressed to find anything that would qualify as authoritative. Influential, yes, but as authoritative, no. And that would probably be one of my primary critiques of evangelicalism as you know, broadly defined. It is a religious movement that lacks a religious authority, and decreasingly even the Bible itself.
Yeah, but all that means is that it's American. All that means is that it's modern, and it's American, and it's free church. You know, it's basically the roots of evangelicalism, although there are, of course, evangelical Anglicans and evangelical Lutherans, et cetera, et cetera. In the American context, you would have to say the dominant streams of evangelicalism are in denominations that practice a low church or an even congregational basis of church government, at which point church authority is whatever your pastor said or whatever committee voted the previous Wednesday night in business meeting. So there, yeah, that is a real problem. But the press, you know, surely in newsrooms where they have professionals who cover religion, I would say that the first thing that the press should think of, it would help right now if they would occasionally quote the actual doctrinal statement of the National Association of Evangelicals. Isn't that a fairly logical place? The other day, the New York Times ran an article that's kicked up a lot of discussion by Pastor Keller, you know, there in New York City of Redeemer. And Keller turned this into a historic discussion, as he would. And he noted that the definition by David Babington, B-E-B-B-I-N-G-T-O-N, Babington, I guess it would be, his definition of evangelicalism has stood for a long time and influenced the National Association of Evangelicals, others. Let's see, I'm looking for a core set of beliefs. Evangelicals have generally believed in the authority of the whole Bible. And then Keller puts a little bit of a shot. Even, you know, they still believe in things like the virgin birth, the resurrection, and things like that. They see it as ultimate authority, unlike Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox, who make church tradition equal to it. I would stress there, my spiritual father, who was a Southern Baptist minister, who became a Eastern Orthodox priest, the late Father Gordon Walker had a beautiful statement of Orthodox views of the Bible, in which he said there is more to church tradition in Eastern Orthodoxy than the Scripture, but there is never less. And so he would stress that the Bible is, all of it is authoritative, but at some point you have to admit that you need a church authority that still says kind of what the Bible means, which gets us into things like the Catholic Catechism and Luther and other people who've tried to do authoritative documents for different movements. So we're back to the same basic issue. What is the authoritative definition of evangelicalism? And could the press at this moment in time, could the press at least cover the people who are defining this as doctrine instead of politics? The other statement I think that should get a lot of attention, the National Association of Evangelicals, of course, that's an American context. It would help if people realized evangelicalism is one of the dominant movements in world religion. The statement that I like to point people to there is the statement of the Lausanne Committee on World Evangelization, which is linked to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And their doctrinal statement is heavily linked to the work of Calvinist Anglicans, such as J.I. Packer and the late John Stott. But that's another statement that people could look at. And the Lausanne Committee, because they're dealing with, you know, from evangelicals around the world, they've done very specific statements on social issues and, you know, basic values of life and interpretation of Scripture. So that's another source reporters should look at.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about a recent National Public Radio story titled 2017 has been a rough year for evangelicals. When we come back, how did the piece do in at least defining the lack of definition? Listening to God's Word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Thank, praise, serve, and obey. Recover the joys of piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, praise, serve, and obey.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a National Public Radio story titled 2017 has been a rough year for evangelicals. Terry Mattingly is our guest. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January here in 2018 is from regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. It's called Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. He's told me personally that he's been waiting to write this book for a long time. He says that a genuine practice of Christian piety begins where everything that is genuinely Christian begins, in the Word of God. That's a good Lutheran beginning to a book about practicing piety. You can find out more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety by Pastor Will Whedon at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January. Terry, in the NPR piece, how did they do in defining the lack of definition when it comes to evangelicals?
Well, I think one of the things they need to realize is why this keeps turning into political debates. And the why is that if you look at global Christianity and you look at traditional Christianity dating back to the first and second centuries and the earliest writings of the early church fathers, there is striking Christian agreement on issues that today in an American context are ending up being debated at the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, there is no question what traditional Christianity thought or thinks today the definition of marriage is. But in the New York Times, that is a question that's going to be considered a political question, primarily. Or, you know, there are a host of other values that the early church, euthanasia leaps to mind, or abortion. There are a lot of subjects on which traditional forms of Christianity are in agreement in terms of their basic doctrinal definitions. Yet today, when we think abortion, when we think euthanasia, when we think when does life begin, when we think define marriage, when we think the moral status of sexual acts outside of traditional marriage, all those things that in the TBAT trio that as through the years I've talked about it, is salvation through Christ alone? Did the resurrection actually happen? Is our acts of sex outside of traditional marriage sinful? Not illegal, but just using a doctrinal term, sinful. All of those are pretty settled doctrinal matters. For evangelicals, for evangelical groups, doctrinal statements, etc. Yet in America, most of the debates about those topics are going to end up being political right now, because that's the country we're currently in, and that's also, frankly, what our media value. So that's going to be the coverage. So evangelicals are stuck with that. And I really think every leader of every major evangelical parachurch group and denomination should be writing letters to editors in their local newsrooms and in national newsrooms and saying, here, meet with us. Let us show you the doctrines that are in evangelical statements, and let us then show you the ancient documents that support some of that. And this is who we are. This is what we believe. Please cover us that way.
Does that help explain why when a group of evangelicals and others issued this Nashville statement this last year, it was treated not as here are evangelicals stating what they and historic Christianity has always believed, but rather it was treated as some kind of a political statement?
What else could it be? If politics is all that matters, what's the alternative? Now, the important thing about the Nashville statement is it would give that kind of a statement. That was not a statement to America's politicians or anybody else. That was a statement from conservative evangelicals to the emerging world of what could be, and this isn't a total contradiction in terms, liberal evangelicalism. This was a statement saying, folks, this is what we believe. We're not changing. Get ready to defend this. So there is broad diversity in parts of evangelicalism right now. That is part of the story. There are liberal evangelicals who are rejecting some fairly basic Christian doctrines on moral theology, and kind of behind the scenes, even on, you know, some biblical authority issues as well. That's a very valid story. The press should cover it. But to cover it, they're going to have to cover it in doctrinal, historical terms, not just in terms of the latest political poll, and not just in terms of who voted for Donald Trump and who didn't or why. They're going to have to grow up and admit that doctrine exists, that church history exists, that there are beliefs and definitions that have stood for, gosh, longer than the Associated Press style book. And they're going to have to cover doctrine as if doctrine matters. Otherwise, none of this is ever going to make sense.
Do they seem to understand that group that does seem to interest them so much, those white evangelicals or white evangelical fellow travelers who did not vote for Donald Trump, that their primary objections were not always political or had to do with political viewpoints, but were essentially moral and theological?
Oh, they get that because they love writing the headlines, you know, that say 81% of evangelicals voted for a man who acted like, well, I guess Bill Clinton or something. But no, the hypocritical evangelicals has been a big theme all year. And there were even reporters who understood why the lesser of two evils theodicy arguments, which started at least 2 years ago, why those were so fierce, because people were having to try to say, how do you justify voting for the lesser of two evils. But that still implies that evangelicals know what evil is. They recognize the moral standards of Donald Trump through the years are unacceptable under the terms of basic Christianity. Yet, in an age when your choice is Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, there were people who wanted to make a theological case for voting for the lesser of the two evils. All of that is doctrinal. There are even doctrines related to the lesser of two evils. And that's theodicy is an ancient Christian subject of theology and debate. Theodicy meaning blaming God for the existence of evil, of God in the dock, as C.S. Lewis put it, God on trial. That's a doctrinal issue. You can't run away from the fact that religion coverage involves religion. If you do, if you keep doing that, it's just you get what we currently have, which is where some of the press coverage and some of the political shouting is now beginning to divide religious groups even more than they already were divided.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you.
Glad to be here. Wherever I am at the moment, glad to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the movies Darkest Hour and The Greatest Showman from Pastor Ted Geese. And we'll talk with Mary Eberstadt about the zealous faith of secularism. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4.5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2017. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio Incorporated has been independent and in the black for almost 10 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations.